Right, indeed. Hello.
So, Danny.
Let's get this party started. What a morning.
Here we are again, yes.
It's good to be here now, in the flesh. Although bombing it down the A35, I was raging, stuck behind slow drivers. Not me, I know, right? I mean, to talk about self-control.
Calm as a Hindu cow.
Exactly. No, bombing it down the A35, I was just absolutely wishing blue murder on innocent old ladies doing 47 and a 60 and
miles an hour, we should add.
Yes, miles an hour, yes, my word.
For you people on the continent.
And yeah, so it's lovely to be here now. I'm very much in the moment. How are you doing?
Super zen. So excited. So much happening. My beautiful new website's out. Well, ours, I should say, because you're going to be added to it very soon.
Yes.
You're going to be a presence under the House of Words umbrella. So that's really exciting news.
Yes, very exciting.
I feel like everything's now, you know, when you can feel like with every cell in your body, like something's culminating.
Absolutely.
And everything's coming together so beautifully. The book's so very nearly ready. Yeah. And yeah, I'm just really excited. I've had some new clients and I'm excited to be able to like just share the space with you and
me too.
Well, sit down and actually see you, look at your face rather than rushing around.
That's like, what does she look like again?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what you look like. Yeah, because we've got a lot of moving parts at the moment and you're always juggling, you're always keeping the plate spinning in the air. And coming back to what you were saying about things culminating, I share the feeling because, well, we've spent years sowing seeds, haven't we? In many different areas professionally. And you've sown the seeds, you've watered it, you've tended to it, and now it's just starting to sprout. Mm-hmm. And that's the really exciting thing. I'm super excited about the website of House of Words. It looks stunning. It really, really does.
Shout out, like, if you haven't seen it or clicked on it, go and have a little peek.
Yes.
It's available in German and English. We've obviously, after our last episode on localization, how couldn't we not localize it?
And indeed.
Add a few sprinkles.
Yeah.
So have a look, have a browse, and yeah, tell us what you think. But I'm really happy with it because it just 100% feels like me.
Yes.
And that's what everyone's been saying. Like, it's so unique, it's so different, and that's who we want to be, right?
Absolutely. And a big shout out, Warren, to Sebastian, right? Because he did such a great job. Yeah, really, really love it. So yeah, really happy to have that in place and to be coming on board with that as well very soon. And it looks like my predictions come true about the wider market in general for what we do, translation, what I do specifically, translation and localization, because I predicted at the beginning of January saying, I think things are about to go mental in a really good way. And it really was quite, it did really split opinion on LinkedIn and talking to various people in the industry across different language combinations and different remits. Lots of people just loved the general enthusiasm, and there were lots of people also said, no, this is bollocks, it's not going to happen, things are very quiet. But I said at the time, that, and I still maintain that back end of 2023, perhaps a little bit earlier than that, maybe from sort of mid-April through to late November of 2023, I still maintain that everybody in the DACH region was on holiday. You know, taking large blocks of unused holiday that accrued during Corona that they couldn't take, or, you know, holidays that they had booked that then got postponed or cancelled and they had to rebook them. And so I personally had this really, really scary roller coaster of a ride for about 8 months because, you know, you'd have a month of business, and in any given month in that time period, you could get to the 20th of the month and essentially make half your target for the month. And you go, well, this is crazy. I might as well pack up and go home. And then in 4 days, you'll make 150% of your target and everything will come in. And it was like that. It was this rocky road for 8 months. And you know, we talked about it a lot. We got to the point where I was looking at the market generally and going, well, it's becoming so unpredictable and so unstable. I don't enjoy working like this because from sort of 2018 up to about April 2023, it was brilliant, wasn't it? It was never easy, but you never questioned your pipeline. It was always busy and it was lovely. And it was in a conversation with Matt, who the lawyer, who whose surname is Matt Lewis, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, lovely chap. And
shout out.
Big shout out to Matt Lewis. And I said that when I had a conversation with about him about my market and said that, you know, it's stop, start, stop, start, his sort of eyes lit up and he went, that was my market exactly a year ago. This was back in November time, and he had said that he had a terrible December and then it got really busy. And when you look at the dates, as we've come to realize, the UK came out of lockdown a full year earlier than Germany.
Yes.
Do you remember? So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
In April 22, this country came out of lockdown, all social distancing, all the masks, everything stopped. And then everybody buggered off and went on holiday. And if you look at the dates, because nobody looks back, it's like Corona feels like it was 10 years
like
ago.
Like a dirty word.
It's like a dirty word, exactly. Yeah. That's right. And you look back now, Germany specifically officially came out of all lockdown measures in April 2023. And from that moment on, absolutely everybody went on holiday.
It's not even been a year.
Has it? Exactly. Yeah. It hasn't even been a year.
So all this accumulated leave and everything.
Exactly. It had to get used up, and it had to get used up before Christmas because, of course, everybody had to come into the office before Christmas. And it was just, it was like a weight off my shoulders when I realised that, right, this is what's happening.
It's not you.
It's not me. And it's supported by numbers like, for example, look at Memmingen Flughafen, Memmingen Airport, Germany's fifth largest airport. They only do jollies. There's nothing commercial. It's just people flying to Ibiza or to the Canaries or wherever. It's those kind of airlines. Operations that they have there, and I know this because I translated the website.
Yeah.
And it was interesting going through the data that they have just this year surpassed pre-corona numbers in terms of passengers every year, so pre-2019, and they were singing it from the rooftops. And so the reason, this is a bit of a tangent from what we wanted to talk about, but the reason I bring it up is because for any translator out there who works with a European language or has customers or end customers or agencies based in, say, in Germany or in Switzerland or in Austria or in France or wherever, hold on to your hats because it really is about to get very busy. My market's suddenly become very, very busy it was busy in December, very busy in fact, but then January was pretty strong. And then again, touch wood, February is shaping up to be a fantastic month. So the message out there, stay positive and really just look forward to making lots and lots and lots of I was going to say money. Yeah, of course, yeah, look forward to making money, but also look forward to having some great jobs in all you people out there. Because
yes.
Yeah, anyway, talk over. But that I wanted to share that because it was something close to my heart. So.
And the peace of mind as well, because nothing gets you more excited than a wobbly pipeline after having relative stability or growth.
Yeah.
Over what, a consistent period since going self-employed, since running the business, and then all of a sudden when the rug gets pulled from under you and you think, shit, nothing is certain anymore. That's like right. Big clients that have supplied 80% of my workload are not coming through anymore.
That's right.
What do I do?
And then you dial into LinkedIn, for example, or whatever your platform is, and people all around you are crap in their pants.
Yeah.
They really are, oh, it's AIs, they've taken over, we've lost all our jobs, we've lost our work, we're worthless now, and what am I going to do? And, you know, the amount of sob stories you see, or I saw in those sort of 6 to 8 months on LinkedIn, it took a little while for people to start really panicking, but as you hit summer, people were really starting to panic. And how long have I been translating for? How many years?
15 years.
15 years? Yeah, give or take.
Freelancing and then,
And then started
15, 16 years,
We started KG Language Services Limited, so that was 12 years ago. So in all this time, I've never been approached more for work than in the last sort of 8-9 months. And so getting back on what I actually wanted to talk about today in particular is that in my experience of entrepreneurship for myself and with you, is that it can be an incredibly lonely place.
Mm-hmm.
In good times and in bad. It can be lonely when it's good or very good because, well, you surround yourself maybe with other people who are entrepreneurs who are self-employed or have big businesses, for example, and if you're lucky like we are, the people you have around you, they're really happy for you when you're doing really well. And they'll really celebrate you and they'll celebrate your success.
Cheerleading is easy though.
Yeah, yes, exactly. But then you're also surrounded by people, you're surrounded by people who just don't have it good for whatever reason. And so you can't share your successes. You can't talk about how well it's gone the last month, the last quarter, even the last year. It's yours. So in that sense, it's lonely. But it's never lonelier than when the shit hits the fan and everybody around you is crap in their pants. And you're sat there in the evening, 10 o'clock at night, sat in front of the fire, you're having a scotch, and you're sat there going, it's going to be okay because A, B, C, D, E. But that creeping doubt, you've got to really nip it in the bud.
Or is it?
Danny, the number of times I sat there at night going, you know, is it me? I must be sick. Because everybody else seems to see it differently. Is it me? I must be wrong. And again, touching wood, because I'm super superstitious, I believe I've been proven right. But it's been 9 months in the making.
Okay, so in terms of practicality, so those moments, it's only a matter of time. If you run a business and you're starting out, it's only just a matter of when this will hit you.
Yes.
Because, yes, things might be going well for you. You might be growing. You might be onboarding a number of new clients, which is fantastic. Mm. However, there will always be a dry spell. So what helps you in those moments other than releasing your rage on the road or having a scotch because
or going boxing or something like that just to get all the tension out.
What's healthy and productive and constructive in those moments? How do you grapple with your mental health? How do you pull yourself out of that hole?
So I'm a deeply practical person, and I will try and remove all emotion from the situation first of all and stay level-headed. And I would say first and foremost, draw strength from the relationships you already have in place.
That's nice.
So I've been very fortunate. I've had to kiss a lot of frogs to get there. And, you know, and you get ripped off and you get shafted by stakeholders in your industry. And it takes time to build rapport. But I'm blessed in the sense that I work with, I counted the others, it's up to about 90 project managers, give or take.
Yep.
Some of them I work with on once a year. Some of them I talk to every day, and I am incredibly grateful for those relationships, because in the quiet times, it's not just about building rapport, because that can be shallow, or should we say, rapport doesn't necessarily pay the bills. Okay, it's great for obviously for building a relationship, but it's not. If it were a basket, I wouldn't put all my eggs in it. You have that rapport, yes, but it's the product of delivering and being dependable, job after job after job, day in, day out, and then you build that over time so that when things do go quiet and then you have a flow of work, you tend to be thought of first in the long list of people that project managers and so on and so forth could issue a job to. They'll think of you first. And so in situations where it goes quiet, draw strength from the fact you have great relationships in place, or you should have. And the flip side of that being that if you don't have great relationships in place with project managers or translation houses or even direct customers, okay, you've got to deal with that. You've got to go and get some good relationships. Don't have just one customer. Don't have one project manager. It's essential for your survival. That would be number one. Number two, have a plan. Have a plan and be honest with yourself. I know a lot of people love to stick their head in the sand and go, it'll be okay. I'll put it on the credit card this month. It'll be fine. I'll pay it off next month. And it's not a plan. It's not a plan to assume that tomorrow is going to be okay. You have to have a plan, and then you have to have a plan for the plan. And those would be the things I would do first and foremost.
You said something interesting there. Make sure they think of you first. Do you think, because you started out on LinkedIn as a digital dinosaur,
yes.
And I sort of pushed you or encouraged you into the sphere, and I'd say you've been on there for what, like 6 months or so? Would that be fair to say?
Yeah.
5-6 months?
Yeah.
Has that helped you in terms of them thinking of you first?
Enormously. Yes, absolutely. And I'll be the first to admit I was dragged kicking and screaming into the digital world.
Yeah.
I mean, a number of times.
Like, trying to get the children out of the IKEA ball pit. Like, just go.
Honestly, the number of times I'll come to you with my iPhone and go, how do I do this? And you just look at me like, you know, like...
Lesson.
Like, it was like watching a chimp trying to work out how to drink a cup
of tea. The banana.
No, they're pretty good at peeling bananas.
From the back, though.
Yeah.
They do it the other way around. Anyway.
That's a whole other topic for another day. But the point is that I am a digital dinosaur. So getting onto LinkedIn and remembering my online manners, my password for a starter.
Step one.
Yes. It has helped enormously because following your advice, and you've given me plenty of great advice, and just being considerate and really making the effort. I went from zero to, well, 1,500 followers in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, really.
And it's a great honor that lots of people follow me. Mm. I'll be the first to admit, because I do like keeping it as honest as possible, I do wonder why so many people follow me, because I know myself and I know exactly who I am. And I have, at least in the digital world, in the LinkedIn world, I have serious imposter syndrome, because I'm like, why are people like consuming my content? What is it about me? Or what is it about that I'm writing? So I have that to deal with, but that's my own personal demon.
Yeah.
But in terms of getting people engaged and seeing who you really are, because everything on my LinkedIn profile is everything I write. It's from the heart. It's rooted in experience.
I love your writing.
Thank you. I do actually enjoy writing. Yeah. I have to say, it's rooted in experience, and maybe that's the reason people consume it. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's raw and honest, and not like curated to the max.
Exactly.
Where it's so polished, like it's too perfect.
Yeah, but in terms of being seen, it's invaluable to go on LinkedIn. It's the only platform I use, and it is great for establishing new relationships. I have really met some great people on it, and I will definitely keep on using it. Yeah.
And even your project managers, they said, oh, wow,
even
doing this format.
Yes.
We talked about it before we sat down to record this episode today, about how invaluable it is when people, before they even pick up the phone to you or send you an email or request a quote or whatever, they already have the feeling like you're best buddies.
Yes.
And conversely, because something resonates, you're saying or writing on LinkedIn because it's so from the heart, because that resonates with them, they all almost always pass the pub test. So you have a pint with them in your spare time if you could.
Sure.
Because they're so like-minded.
Yes.
And this is one part of the reason why we're doing this. A, it's cheaper than couples therapy. It's cheaper than a babysitter.
Yeah.
It's so lovely sitting down with you and actually talking about things, reflecting on things, and knowing that it will resonate with people, because it just comes from the heart. We have, we're honest.
Yeah.
We don't embellish and put it out there as it is. And it's great getting that feedback and that response, like through work, through existing clients or prospects who then come to you and say, I really like what you're doing, and something really triggered my, I don't know, curiosity, or I really like you guys and I want to work with you.
Yeah, and it's becoming more and more so that people are flagging what we do here and what we share on LinkedIn, for example.
That's encouraging, right?
It is encouraging.
As a message to you listening or watching this today, it's so wonderful to see the more authentic you are, and I know it's an overused word, but the more you are, the more people will feel drawn to you and the more they'll feel invited to be just that themselves.
Yeah.
And only then, when we break down all the bullshit and all the barriers and all the, self-congratulating sort of...
Yeah. You see, that being, of course, the flip side of everything we're doing here is that, and again, I question why I've had so much traction already, because the truth is, when I go on LinkedIn, half the people I will see, or half the content produced, not the people per se, because I don't know the first thing about these people, so I'm not going to judge them like that, but half the content I see is so polished or so implausible. I'm like, come on, man, that's not real life. That's not real. It's just not. And there are many examples within the small bubble that I operate in where, you know, again, not giving the people a hard time, the people I know and are in contact with or linked into or whatever, they're professionals and they're great. But again, the content, I look at it and go, that's not the life of a translator. It's just not. It's just, it's unreal. And so I don't feel compelled to engage with it.
Yeah, because you can always feel it, right?
Yeah.
Like you can always feel like if it's AI generated.
Yes.
Yeah, like you think you're so smart if you're putting everything, like letting a machine write it for you and then put it up there. It's not. Actually, people know. They've long clocked onto the fact that...
This is how to make a glossary. And you go, really? What? You wrote that? No, a machine wrote that. Don't be silly. You see a lot of that actually in my particular feed. But anyway, I digress.
I think we've touched on a lot of great stuff here. So just wrapping it up. Success and failure can be equally as lonely, sometimes lonelier.
Yes.
The latter can be lonelier. Yeah. And so it's really important to zero in on the great relationships you already have in place, to really nurture them.
Yes.
And to make sure you always add something extra. You always under-promise and over-serve. Not the other way around.
I was going to say, whenever I had to stop myself and say, hang on, which way do you say it? Because I would probably say it the other way around, but that would be wrong.
Over-promise and then under-serve. No, hopefully not.
There are a few project managers who might say that if they actually listening to this right now go, yeah, that's Daniel. Shit back.
Now we've got him.
Now we've got him, the little bastard.
No, but in theory, I heard this really great sentence the other day when I went to a networking event here in the UK around, well, we're based around Bournemouth, so if you know the UK a little bit. And it was this great networking event. It was the Lunch Club run by Mark Masters, and he runs You Are the Media. It's fantastic. So, yeah, just kudos to you and everything you're doing. And there was the guy on the panel, he really inspired me, called John Asperian. He's a LinkedIn legend. And his slogan is, which is trademarked, being relentlessly helpful. And to be so generous with your knowledge and to share and share and share again. And he said, make the biggest possible promise you can make and then keep. So whether it's on LinkedIn or whether it's nurturing relationships by picking up the phone to them and checking in on them, or by anything else you can possibly promise, do that, but stick to it.
Yes.
And I really liked it, because it's not about doing everything. You don't, when you've never been on the socials, it's not about you starting on TikTok, Threads and Meta and LinkedIn on the same day and run a podcast in your spare time. It's not about that.
Yeah.
Pick something you think you will show up to.
I like that.
With regularity. That's something else I've learned. And and really make sure to never do the clients who are already giving you their time and money a disservice.
Yes, indeed. Well put. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
My
easy.
On the matter. Job done. Right. Yeah.
So if you haven't done so far, you could do us a little favor out there. We've noticed, running the analysis and the statistics, we've noticed this podcast as being extremely well received, but only a tenth of all listeners have already subscribed to our podcast. So if you haven't done already, do it on Apple or Spotify or even on YouTube, where you can watch these podcast episodes.
Yeah.
Subscribe, because at the end of the day, you're showing us we're headed in the right direction.
Yes.
You're showing other people that this is valuable content, and you're making us bigger, i.e. we're able to invite really cool guests and have a chat with them. And this is where we're headed, just sharing as much knowledge as we possibly can, and opening up the space for other experts as well. So please, please, please support a happy couple here. And then I can sleep. So happy. No. But that would be my call to action for today.
Yeah, I second that. Very good.
Nice. Bye. All right. See you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.